I'm a big fan of making something good out of a bad thing. And in the spirit of popularity, diversity, meaning, and frequency of use, Twitch is going to rotate PogChamp emotes once every 24 hours. This feature doesn't have to last forever, but it's going to be a good changeup of the formula. And hey, it'll be a lot better than those AstroTurfed Prime emotes they gave us after TwitchCon. This is just my hot take. It's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to explain more on this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now in the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of Orange Lounge Radio live once again on this Sunday night for the second time in the year 2021 with episode number 851 of our show for this January the 10th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me as always, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hi, Jamie. I think you're muted on Discord, just so you know. Technical issues. They happen.
I had myself unmuted. I guess I must have hit something.
That's all right.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
You were telling me before the show, and I hope you're willing to talk about it on air, you made a new friend on Twitter in the gaming universe, right?
I did. And I've been following him for a while and actually just, you know, having a little bit of back and forth chat. We talked about mics for a little bit, you know, kind of what led to me, I think, buying the one that I did.
Oh, nice.
Tommy Earl Jenkins, who is the voice of Die Hard Man. Really, really just cool dude.
In the game Death Stranding, for those who don't know.
Yeah, in Death Stranding, sorry. But I've tried to check out some of his other stuff. Is honestly, I think, one of my favorite voices in the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like when I get to connect with people like that and just like talk shop, I guess, sometimes, and you know, just talk about real life and you know, do real people stuff. Like it's kind of a thing, you know. I don't get like super starstruck, I guess.
Yeah, me neither.
But I like being. You know, it's getting to know people.
I totally get it. It's the pros and the cons about Twitter, you know, is that it makes celebrity culture and some of those people that you admire, and even people that aren't necessarily gigantic celebrities, which with all due respect, I would put the voice actors kind of on that level where, you know, they're not like Tom Cruise or, you know, a huge movie star or whatever, but, you know, they're known in certain circles, you know, or contestants on Drag Race, right? They're known in certain circles. So they get a lot of, you know, people able to tweet them directly, which is a good thing and it's a bad thing. Obviously, we know there's a lot of disgusting Twitter culture that happens with that direct accessibility, such as people who, you know, bully other people and, you know, tag things and things that are completely unnecessary. But I think as Twitter and those types of services, Facebook, social media, is getting more ingrained in our culture, people are getting more like, okay, I'm just going to block haters, or I'm going to mute haters, you know, and able to filter that out.
Not David Hayter.
A little bit, yes, a little better. Not that it ever excuses that type of behavior, but I think people are learning how to deal with it a little more. But the plus side of that, we talk a lot about the negative side of that. And, you know, I know Twitter and all that is a hot button issue this week, and I'm going to try to walk around that. I think part of the positives about Twitter is that for those people in very smaller circles that might not be known to a lot of people, to tweet somebody a small little compliment like, you know, hey, I loved your work. I'm curious, what kind of microphone do you use? Like that is awesome that you can just kind of like go to the source and ask that question. Now, one thing to keep in mind, nobody owes you shit and you might not get an answer. You know this, Dark Saga, but I'm saying this for everybody else.
Yeah.
You might not get an answer from somebody, but when you do, it feels really good and it's really cool, right? And, you know, over the years, many of you, you know, I know we here at OLR, we're not famous, y'all. We've been doing the show a long time. Doesn't mean people know who we are. We're known to certain people in certain groups, right? It's that same type of thing.
Yeah.
And when you guys reach out and tweet me and, you know, or Jamie or Matt or whatever and say, you know, this is awesome, or hey, thanks for doing OLR. In fact, somebody sent me a tweet this past week just saying like, oh man, when you were talking about the Guardian Legend, I so agree with you. That game needs to come back. Like something along those lines. I was kind of talking about that. And that, like, even though that's just like that makes me feel really good and like validates what we're doing here at OLR to have like a pleasant exchange like that. And that, like, I live for that shit. That when you ask, like, how have you done OLR for 18, whatever, however old we are, 18 years, interactions like that, like just people wanting to talk cool about video games and keep that going. Like that's my fuel. So
I'd like more of that.
Yeah. You know. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. We have to remember we're not that big, but you know, it's, I love for the audience that we do have and the interactions that we have. So that I'm sure applies to, you know, the voice actors that you've interacted with over the years on Twitter, for sure. So,
and I've made some really good friends, just running in some of those same circles. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's honestly, I've actually found it to be a lot less toxic of an environment lately, especially since the
we all know
undesirable population have been
we all know yes,
but I mean, I've also found and I don't know what this is exactly, because people are, you know, posting the stuff. I mean, doom scrolling is a thing, you know, it exists for a reason, the phrase, but I've noticed that it's a little bit more inundating on Facebook. Because people, it's in a compartmentalized area, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more just, you know, likely to make a bunch of comments on it. Whereas on Twitter, I think it's kind of harder to see some of the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can mute the thread. And now, you know, you can remove, you know, when people reply to it, you can ask them to remove you from it.
Yes. And they finally have that limiting who can reply feature. Well, I don't know if Bobby Blackwolf ever did get it. He might be the one person on Twitter without it, but which sucks. Sorry, Bobby. But I think everybody on Twitter other than Bobby has this feature where you can like limit to certain replies. And that's a great thing, too, I think, because sometimes I'll want to post something and be like, I'm just going to say this, get this out in the universe, get it out of my brain. I don't want to talk about it after this. And it's a very, like, it took way too long to come to Twitter, and I'm happy it's there. Oh, Bobby still doesn't have that feature. I don't know what's wrong, bro. I
haven't even looked for it.
it's there. Maybe you don't have it either. That would be strange.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
I have it.
So, yeah, you can.
People you follow, only people you mention, everyone.
It's great. So, anyway, we got to introduce everybody here on the show that our folks out there like to follow, and that includes Techmaster Loki joining us tonight.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good, good. What's the game playing behind you tonight? I can't quite tell. Is that Zelda?
You don't recognize it from AGDQ?
I'm trying to. No, I can't, because I can't see the main character in it, because you're sitting in front of him.
Yeah, your head's in the way.
Yeah, your head's near. I can't tell. What? Just tell me.
I want to be the guy or something.
It's Epic Dumpster Bear 2.
Oh, it sure is. Okay. I admittedly tuned out right before that run started. Nothing. You know, I loved AGDQ. It's great, but just, yeah, trying to live my life too. So, yeah, okay. Got it. Speaking of awful games, but with a wink, how's development of Pixel Poops number 2, your game, going?
It was kind of slow this week. I did work on some animation stuff, so I was drawing a dog.
Yeah, and you know what?
Gonna be.
Now that I'm asking you this, I know we talked about this on Twitter, where it's kind of one of those, we all had a lot on our minds this week, so I think we all were a little slower this week, and that's fine.
Yeah, it was hard to kind of like get motivated to like do more intensive stuff with like that, so I played a lot of just like Minecraft instead. I did, like, literally doing just like chores. It's like, oh, I gotta go fix this path so it looks nicer, or oh, hey, we're low on these supplies, I'm gonna go mine for a while. You know, just like stupid stuff like that.
I think everybody kind of had to do what they needed to do for their mental health. And I did not watch the entirety of Bobby's hosting run on Wednesday, because I could not tear myself away from the news. I just physically could not do it, which probably wasn't the greatest thing for my mental health, admittedly, but it is what it is.
You put Twitch up on the TV using one of your consoles and take out the iPad.
I know, but I'm so bad at multitasking. Normal people can do that. I can't. I don't know what it is. Yeah,
let's not have you ever test out any more iterations of that for YYR.
Right.
I'm not very good at like doing pixel art, so it was surprising. Like, it was very challenging just to get a 4-frame walk animation with a dog into such a small sprite. And it ended up turning out okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway, but I was going to mention it later in the show, but hell, I'll do it now. You know, big congratulations to Bobby Blackwolf and the entire crew. I mean, it's much more than one person, but obviously we're partial to our buddy who we've been working with here on Sunday nights for, what, like 15 years, probably more. I literally have so long I've lost track. and helping with the hosting and helping to raise money for a great charity. What did I have a story on it later in the show, so you're gonna hear it twice. But I think it was like something like $2.7 million they raised for AGDQ or for Prevent Cancer Foundation via AGDQ. And you know, the fact that everything is virtual and the fact that they had to compete with all the crap going on in the world is pretty stunning. So big ups to the speedrunners, the hosts, the producers, the behind the sceners, the everybody and everyone that made that happen, because it was a beautiful charity thing. So congrats, that's for sure. Anyhow, let's get into our show and the things we want to talk about tonight. So it's a little bit slower of a news week. We do have some things to get into, but obviously coming off of the holidays, there's not a lot of big game releases. The hype machine hasn't started for 2021 just yet. Consumer Electronics Show is coming up this week, albeit very, very different because of the world. I'm sure you all know. But this CES would be about the first point where we start to get some actual gaming, you know, big gaming ticket items. So it's still a little slower this week. So this now, we'll get into what news there is coming up in a little bit, but this is a good time for us to continue to kind of reflect not just on the last year, which we did last week, but what's ahead, which is what we're going to do this week. So we have to do this virtually tonight, because usually what we would do is Dark Soccer, Loki, and myself would write on some little scraps of paper, and we would fill up Mr. Vader here for the podcast listeners. I'm holding up a little tin that looks like Darth Vader, but it's more cylindrical. And we're going to lock him in this little time capsule, and we're going to read him at the start of next year and laugh at how bad our predictions were. And I think I left the one about Half-Life 3 in here just because that's going to be in there every year, I've decided. All right. Until the end of time. In fact, honestly, bury me with this so somebody can find the sliver of paper in 1,000 years that says, did Half-Life 3 ever fucking happen? All right. Moving on. Let's get into
If it ever does come out, then we need to have a ritual burning.
Oh, of the paper?
Of the paper.
I'm down with that. Let's bring a little fire chanting to Orange Lounge Radio. That sounds safe. All right.
Chanting to the tune of an ABBA song.
All right. Burning things to the songs of ABBA. That sounds like a segment on Understation Live or something. But anyway, let's get into 2021 predictions. So we're going to do this virtually this year. I'm going to just kind of note everything down. I'll print it out. We'll put it in there for next year. And we'll do it that way. So I'm going to go around and see some of the host predictions for this year. And then we're going to go to chat and get some of yours, because we do tape live over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. So let's get into some predictions. All right. I will start. I'll do my first. I never go first in these segments, so it's time for me to go first. And I'm going to do this one first because I knew I wanted to say this as a prediction, and then some leaks came out today that are going to make it look like I'm leaning into this. So you guys are going to have to trust me that I was thinking of this before the leaks, okay? And I don't think the leaks are necessarily true. I'm going to explain how my prediction's a little bit different. I want to talk about Switch Pro, okay? My prediction that I'm writing in is that Nintendo Switch Pro ain't all that. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be bad, but it's not going to do 4K handheld gaming. And I don't really think it's going to do I think it will support 4K in the way that PlayStation Pro supported 4K, but I don't think it's going to be more powerful really than, it certainly is not going to be as powerful as PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, 100%.
It'll probably upscale that.
I think either, yeah, and I know the leak talked about upscaling, which honestly hadn't come to my mind, but I was thinking like interface, menus, statics, things like that would probably be 4K, but I don't think the games themselves are going to be as 4K as you want. It doesn't make the games worse. Nintendo still makes great games. I'm just saying, I think a lot of the pipe dream people have in their heads about 4K Breath of the Wild Part 2, I don't think that is going to be a reality, but I do think we will get a Switch Pro holiday. I don't think it's coming any sooner than a holiday, and I think they're going to do it that way to time it with Breath of the Wild Part 2 as one of the release titles for it. So that's my first prediction for 2021 for sure. So, all right. And looking in chat, ActDef says, you're stealing one of my co-host predictions that the Switch Pro ain't pro and more like a 1.3 version of the console. You know, again, with the leaks today, I think a lot of people are going to be leaning into that a little bit, but it's more one of the things that the leaks make sense, I think. So I'm kind of piggybacking on it. I don't necessarily know if I buy the upsample everywhere part of that. Like, I kind of think there is. That's why I'm not totally leaning into those leaks. But I think elements of it are right. So, all right. Anyhow, let's talk to Dark Sakura. Why not? What's
you stole mine.
Did I really?
Yes, you did. You stole mine. That's exactly what I was going to do.
I'm sorry.
So, no, you're not.
You're right, I'm not. Well, what's the next one on your list then?
Well, I said that some kind soul was going to make me a game featuring possums.
Did Dark Soccer get a possum game?
Yeah, I need a game with possums. In 16-bit fashion.
Now, sorry, I'm quiet, but I'm typing these out as they're being said, because I have no advanced knowledge of what these predictions are. Now, what about the old adage, if you want something bad enough, you got to do it yourself?
I ain't doing shit. This is a prediction. So I'm predicting that somebody is going to be really nice to me and do me a possum adventure, or a possum platformer. Isn't like Rocket Knight Adventure. It's a possum on four legs doing possum things. Like, you have to find trash.
I like that.
And you make friends.
Possum things. Do something possum today.
And he has to make friends. My possum has to make friends. He has to have a mama possum who has lots of babies. And then has to make friends with a raccoon who is literally named Trash Panda. And a skunk. And it's going to be... And Act Death just named it. It's going to be called Bee Possum Today.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah. Well, right. That's what you're saying. I take that name. It's called Be Possum Today.
Okay.
Someone has... yeah, and like Fenara says, he has to eat ticks for energy.
Kate Catastrophe in chat says, awesome possum kicks Dr. Machino's butt.
No, that's actually, I think, like a real thing.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's awesome possum. That's what I'm like trying not to be. I want it to be a little four-legged possum that jumps up and platforms and has to find garbage and scream at people. It's power. It stuns its enemies by screaming at it.
You want a literal garbage video game.
I want a garbage video game starring a possum.
Okay.
And if someone will make it for me, I will write the entire story for it. I just need, I need this to be my game of 2021.
Well, you could do what like Epic Dumpster Epic Dumpster Bear does. It's all like, Unity assets.
I don't like that kind of game, though. I want it to be like a Sonic-ish kind of game. You know, jumping on platforms and climbing things, and not like doing the midair spins and stuff like that. I just want to jump around and eat garbage.
Now, since Dark Sakura has availability on her list because I ruthlessly stole one of her answers without knowing it, chat, if you have some predictions. Why don't you start yelling them out in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork so that Dark Soccer can steal one of your answers. Sound like a plan? All right. Or she'll come up with something else.
I don't want him to go fast. I want him to walk really funny.
Hey, moving on. We got a 3-hour show. We're not going to talk about possums for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. All right.
Speaking of going fast.
Okay.
Microsoft is going to quickly acquire Sega in 2021.
Okay. This fan wank rumor has been going around for like 4 years. Why
and
now, Loki?
Perpetuate it even more. Because they got to figure out how to get in on the Japanese side of the house. And honestly, they're not going to purchase Konami. So Sega it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good prediction. My next prediction. I wanted to throw something in for the Intellivision Amico, because I think a lot of people are going to overlook that this year. And my prediction for 2021...
That would have been one of my predictions.
Oh, my bad. Well, maybe yours will be different.
That it would be overlooked.
Oh. Well, no, that's actually not the prediction. My prediction is a little bit opposite. I'm going to say the Amico will do okay. It's certainly going to have better success than the VCS. But I don't think, and I'm willing to say this, I don't think it's going to tank as hard as a lot of internet people want to think it will. I think the Amico will do okay. And what I mean by that is that, like, it's not going to be like oodles and oodles of cash, but it will break even enough to pay everybody's salaries that worked on it and a little extra chunk of change for a future project. And it's going to be all right. And that's my guess for Amico. But I think it will survive. I think it will be supported through all of 2021. I think they will. I think with the April release, they will continue to push it more and more through the holidays. And I think it's something that won't be able to be gauged on its release right out the gate. I think this is truly something we have to evaluate at the beginning of next year when it's been on the shelf through a holiday period that hopefully looks a little more like a normal holiday period than this last year did. So
I'm sensing a theme with Robin in 2021. It's just going to be okay. It's not gonna be great,
you know.
It's gonna be terrible. Just okay.
Around Wednesday, I was like, "This is gonna be another shitty year." And then on Friday, I was like, "Actually, 2021 showed up today and said, I think the fuck not." So, anything. 2021. Anything can happen.
It's a roller coaster, and it's just been like a week.
2021. It might be kind of possum. Speaking of which, Dark Sakura, do you have another prediction for the can?
A serious one.
Sure.
So even though my possum one was very, very serious, I'm not joking about it. I think that we're going to see online communities move off of things like just standard internet and smartphone platforms. Maybe not a move, but we're going to see the new big social media network be in-game networks.
Where, I like where you're going with this. Go on.
You can be involved in it, kind of like think of PSO for a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that you were in your lobby in PSO and you chat with people in the lobby and you can then chat with your group while you're in your game, right? Or like even in WoW, but you also have an observer mode where you can join in on other people's games as an observer and follow cam with like one of the characters who, you know, one of the people that someone's playing.
Okay. Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but something that comes to mind because I'm not saying it exists, but it's bubbling under the surface because I've heard about this. And so maybe this is the type of year that it comes through. There's a thing called Clubhouse, and you can only get in with an invite right now. So I don't know a lot about it. And I know Twitter is trying to launch a competitor to it, but it's like these audio chat rooms that are set up for people to discuss certain topics. And they might be serious, like social things that need to be discussed, like, you know, being Black in America might be one of these rooms. And you can, and when Dark Soccer, when you talk about eavesdrop, you don't necessarily have to participate, but you can eavesdrop in other conversations. Like, that's the type of thing that Clubhouse and the new potential Twitter feature is supposed to allow you to do. Now, again, these haven't really taken off yet. They're still kind of, because I think the big question still has to be answered. How do we moderate this? Because this could be a nightmare in trade. But you're kind of taking this one step further into games, and I think that's kind of cool.
Exactly. And it basically also will go into the realm of things like, say, esports, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can sell tickets to an event. And you all sign it, kind of like actually how Stage It does their things, where you, not necessarily like a bid, but you, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. You pay for however much the minimum is for your ticket, and you can tip more if you want to. And then you can attend a virtual concert inside a game environment, or it takes to like a live stream of something, but it's all done through our various gaming consoles. And I think that one of the selling points for future consoles is that this would be an integrated thing that all of them use for cross-console watching. And for a lot of, say if you're on a PlayStation and you go to watch somebody's game on an Xbox, for example, you, of course, will get ads, or you might have to have, pay for an extra tier of account for cross-platform gaming. Platform chat or something.
In a small way, you're almost describing PlayStation Home, but like 2.0, like next, evolution type of thing. I get where you're going, because I think, and I actually, like, the more you explain your idea, the more I'm kind of like, I get it, because there's a lot, again, a lot of things bubbling under the surface. You talk about the virtual concerts. Fortnite has put its foot in the water in dealing with those. We just haven't seen something like that gel together where it's like Fortnite is known as the virtual concert space stuff. Like it hasn't gelled together in a big way yet. And I think if I'm hearing right, you're saying this is the year it comes together in a big way for some tech company.
Or even, you know, extend it into like a, you know, like an internet thing where you can, you know, live stream whatever the game people are on, or you have it hooked through Steam when you can join in on your game that way too. But I'm thinking of making it something that's just beyond just an online social media thing and have it be an integrated network. And then, you know, now I think like future down the line where you like plug into this thing like the fucking Matrix and live in it, I guess, or, you know, I don't know, that would be a little bit crazy, but it's just sort of where I'm going for certain things, I guess.
Okay.
I want to think of something that's going to have longevity. And it's hard for me to describe exactly that, but I want it to be something fine. That would go forward.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think it's a great prediction. Let's write it down, see what happens. Maybe if we don't see something fully realized, we might see the, you know, kind of check in on how are some of these things growing that I'm saying are like, you know, they're kind of bubbling under yet. And I know chat, I'm looking at, you know, Bobby Blackwolf is saying VR chat, alt space VR, big screen, all do these kinds of things, but you don't need VR to use them. Yes, but, and so does Fortnite, but none of these places are like the definitive, you know, spot for this type of stuff. Nothing's quite gelled together in that sort of way yet. And I think, especially coming off of this pandemic, and I talked about some of this on last week's show, how my work is looking at moving into an environment very, very similar to those types of things. I'm not going to get too detailed because it would be wrong of me to give all the details, but it's like a similar thing. And I think that could evolve into some type of like known as a social media platform for all of that, and I and a wider adoption of one of those or maybe a couple of those things. So it'd be interesting to see for sure.
One of my other thoughts is actually expanding something like this into a business environment as well, because, you know, Zoom by itself is one thing, but if you had like a virtual meeting room, you know,
you and I need to talk off air.
Okay.
It is out there, I can tell you. So
okay.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking,
but again,
how
widely adopted
to integrate them.
Yeah. How wide everybody knows Zoom. Not everybody knows these other things yet. This might be the year we find out. Anyway, for time, let me go ahead and move on. Okay. Loki, what is your next prediction?
My next prediction is that Volition's going to announce the next Saints Row game. I know it's being worked on. They just have to announce it.
Safe prediction, but a good one. It's about that time, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they've already committed or have already commented that they're working on one. Just, you know, what is it? When is it? You know?
Yeah. So you're saying this year is the year for Saints Row beyond a tweet saying, yeah, we're doing
announced.
It.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, I don't anticipate they'll come out this year.
All right.
I would like it
never
to.
You never know.
It's probably not.
You never know. All right. My last prediction. So here's my real crazy one. I've always got to have a crazy one in there. So my last prediction that I have is Twitch is going to get another viable competitor. Because I think, you know, Twitch has kind of not gone very checked by a lot of, you know, yes, there's YouTube. YouTube doesn't allow you to monetize as easily as Twitch does. And some of these others. And I'm going to go so far as to say, I think the shot is going to come from Twitter. I think Twitter is going to launch a Twitch competitor. And I think because we know they have the technology from their acquisition of Periscope, I'm not sure that has really leveraged a lot for them. But I don't know. It's just what my gut says. So I'm going to go with it. I feel like Twitter might be the ones to take a shot at what Twitch has going on. And we're not going to talk about Facebook gaming. We don't validate it. All right. Let's Dark Soccer, were you able to find a third one?
What I'm going to do. I think that we're going to see gaming in and of itself become, and this is going to be a very safe bet, but I think we're even going to see it perhaps surpassing professional sports as a big moneymaker in the U.S. economy.
It might already be there. I don't.
I think it's coming that way. That's why I said this one's pretty much a safe one.
You're right. This is a safe bet.
Especially this year.
Games will continue to make money, and a lot of it. But you know what? You know what? This is an industry that has always assumed a safe path, and it hasn't always worked out that way. 1983 called and said hello, right? So, and I want to say there's been prior years where, maybe not us, but other shows I've listened to have gone so far as to say there's going to be another video game crash this year. So you're doing the opposite of that. You're saying gaming's in a safe place. We're going to continue to make money. We're going to, it's going to continue to be mainstream. And it's going to get to the point where, because, and you know, you talk about sports, and I think especially with the pandemic and everything going on, where more people can't go watch sports. Now, again, we hope that at the end of 2021, it's not like this anymore, or it's on that path to what we remember. But I get it. I think yes, it's a safe pick, but I don't think it's a complete 100% guarantee. Go ahead.
I have a lot more about it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily just going to be the fact that it's going to be these big... And I'm on purpose not looking at chat, by the way, so if anyone's saying anything about it, I don't see it.
Not really.
But I think that what we're even going to see is we're going to see the breakup of some of the bigger studios into... Like kind of how we were seeing in real life how some of the big stores are... failing in response to the rise of the boutique again. We're going to start,
finish your thought because I have to read a chat comment because you are on the exact same page as someone else in chat. And I'll read that here in a minute.
But I think that people are going to realize that with these smaller studios that they're getting even better quality because it's not just, oh, we got to make all this money, blah, blah, blah. They're going to be doing it with a lot more crowdsource backing. And when these little studios grow, they're going to employ more people. They're going to put more money into the economy. We're really going to see the growth of true competition and have it not just big, be, you know, the first title Nintendo's, the Konami's, the Capcom's, you know, they're already losing their traction. So, I mean, Nintendo is always going to be Nintendo. They live in their own universe and they don't count. But we're going to see the indie developer, the single developer, start expanding a bit more, but without losing the things that make us love them, and they're going to be a bigger contributor to that economy.
Okay, so which chatter do I think you're extremely aligned with here in chat? Our very own Bobby Blackwolf. When I said
you didn't get any chance to answer.
When I said that comment about the video game crash in 1983, he replied, "If there's a crash, it'll be AAA games." Too many people can make video games now that video games will still exist even if the AAA companies crash. And I'm definitely hearing the common denominator between that and what you just said.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I don't think we're going to see the big ones crash. I really don't. But I think that they're not going to be as important.
You're going to
care as much.
You're going to see a little more of an equalization, I think is a good way to put it.
Exactly.
The bigs come lower, the indies come higher. Because that's been happening very slowly in this industry ever since Xbox Live Arcade launched and Steam started having a lot more games on it.
And I even sort of changed the one I was going to do because I thought I was going to do that. You know, we finally get another Silent Hill game, blah, 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 whatever. But I was thinking about that and I was thinking we have really amazing games come out from people who were in those, AAA company universes, who broke off on their own and did their own really big game. You know, they had the backing for it. It was considered a AAA title, but I'm referring more to the AAA studios. You know, for example, Kojima breaking off. So those are just, you know, kind of what cemented that thought in my head. So it's kind of it's a serious one. And we're going to still see that economy growing and employing more people. But I think it's not going to be the big companies that are the driving force.
So before we get to Loki's third prediction, I'm going to add a chat prediction to the list because it's a little bit adjacent to what Darksoccer is talking about, but separate enough. I think it's worthy of being added here. And I'm going to give it to SSJ100 Matt and put in the jar for this year that says there won't be a video game industry union, but there will be a massive dev walkout that will help trigger towards that. So we're going to finally see
unionized.
The dam burst. What's that?
Google's unionized.
That is true. So, but it's a prediction. You don't know. It might, maybe they will unionize by the end of the year, or maybe we're just going to have the event that leads to that. Still, I like that a lot as a prediction. It's a little bit adjacent to what you were just talking about, but not quite the same thing. So, yeah, for sure. Anyway, guys, keep those predictions coming. Sorry, some of them have scrolled off the screen. If you had a really good one that I missed, put it back so I can pick that up, because we'll get a couple more in there. Meanwhile, let's check out Loki's last prediction.
So my last prediction is going to be that despite how unlikely it will be, there will be a newest Silent Hill announcement this week, or year, not this week. That'd be too soon. This year. I know it's completely unlikely and never going to happen, but crazier things have happened.
So, and I apologize because you cut out there for a little bit. I had some problems with my earbuds, so I had to listen to the TV. You are going, so even though Darksoccer just said, I thought about doing Silent Hill, you are doing Silent Hill and saying
sure,
it is happening this year.
I was
going
to do something safe like, oh, you know, Microsoft will incorporate Xbox Live Gold in the Games Pass. But that's just too safe, so I'm okay. Just going to do that.
All right. Let me get to some other good ones in chat. Let's pull a couple of these from chat. Oh, these are good. Let's decide which ones of these we want to put in. ZenMonkey11 says, I have two predictions. Facebook will create its own PlayStation Plus Xbox Gold type of service so users can play their Oculus games without having to log into Facebook if they want to play offline. Second, Rockstar will announce GTA 6, but it won't be called GTA 6. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one. Act Deft. Ooh, I really like this one. E3 is 100% done and it's never coming back. I like that one. That's a bold ass prediction. Let's do
it. Jar.
Help me with the dead air, guys, while
that
I copy paste.
Sorry.
That goes in the jar. I like that.
Yeah, I agree with Bobby. They're not going to ever unbundle Oculus from Facebook because, you know, Facebook likes to collect all the data. I could see them doing something similar, though, too. I think Vive does this with their library right now, where you can get, like, kind of a pass to some of that stuff. But I could see them doing something similar with, you know, the Oculus library. If they haven't already, I swear that there's something out there. I've seen advertisements for paying for something, and you get access to a library of VR games. So I don't know. Yeah, I think that is Viveport. So, sure, why not? That's easy.
All right. YYR suggests mine is that Nintendo. Oh, just scrolled off. Sorry. Mine is that Nintendo will cave to investor pressure and keep Mario 3D All Stars on sale past March. I think you're half right. I don't think it's because of investor pressure, but I think the gag will be that it comes back after they have already pulled it, like in great Disney way. I think it comes back before the end of the Switch's lifetime, but it won't be this year.
They're going to do some shenanigans, is what they're
yeah, shenanigans will be afoot. I'll leave it at that. This is a pretty gutsy one from SSG100 Matt saying Sony PlayStation Plus library will rival Game Pass when it drops a massive library of PlayStation 1 through PlayStation 3 games at once. I feel like that's the fan talking, the fan wank, the Twitter demanding person talking.
That's PlayStation Now, though. That's what they're trying to sell PlayStation Now with.
Mm. Oh, I like this one from Business Lamp. Hi there, by the way, who says Google Stadia has a surge in popularity. You know, we're really quick to laugh that off, I think, in the beginning because of, you know, we've had a lot of criticisms of Stadia, but Cyberpunk changed the game, I think.
That's an anomaly, though. That is just because the other version sucked so bad. I don't think that's necessarily like...
All you need is one. All you need is one to hook them in.
No.
All right. I think it's a good prediction. All right. Let's see. I had some other ones here. Okay. Shad Starzik, our buddy Shane, playing it extremely safe with the safest prediction I've ever seen. Supergiant will follow up Hades with another amazing game. Maybe like a first-person shooter mixed with a farming sim. I don't know. And it'll gain critical acclaim and further cement them as the best indie dev out there. I think that's definitely the fanboy and Shane talking. But I love the idea of FPS meets Farming Simulator.
That's Slime Rancher. Slime Rancher right there.
I love that. Let's see. What was one? There was one more about Animal Crossing in here, and I think it was from Sia Tabiri. Sia Tabiri in chat says, Animal Crossing New Horizons will, by the end of the year, provide a way to have a secondary place for second-tier animals you don't have room for on your island, similar to the Pocket Camp Cabin. Oh, is that like the Pokemon Go eggs? You get to hide them in a different place? What do you think about that, the Animal Crossing
this
idea?
This is the island of the undesirables.
Redemption Island is what it is, right? Animal Crossing Prove Redemption Island. Where they have to partake in challenges and only the greatest. It's the yes, only time.
To the death.
It's the only time that twist will be good. All right. You know what? Fuck it. I'm putting it in the jar. Jamie's not here at the moment. She stepped away for a moment, so I'm going to sneak it in when she's not looking. Animal Crossing Redemption Island. All right. Perfect. There we go. That's enough. You guys all had great predictions. You know what? There is nothing stopping you, OLR folks. There is nothing stopping you, and especially those that are listening on the podcast feed. You have a jar somewhere. You have a piggy bank that's unused. You have a piece of Tupperware somewhere. Put your predictions down. Write three of them. Put them down. Lock them away in a thing that you're not going to look at until next year, because I'm going to ask the listeners again, those that decided to actually do this and make their own time capsule, I want to know what you got right when we do this again next year. So we'll talk about that in chat in 1 year's time. All right. Dark Tetsuya said, Redemption Island, is that like a Survivor thing? Yes. Look, at least I didn't say Animal Crossing Island of the Idols, okay? I knew not to go there, okay? Okay, all right. Anyway. All right. That's some good predictions. We'll see. I will print that out, cut them up, and put them in the jar later. Again, I have to do this virtually this year because we're not all able to do this in studio. I think the biggest 2021 prediction I'd like to really hope will come true is that in 2021, we are back to recording in person. That is what I would love to see happen in 2021. We're back in person. We have vaccines. We're able to do this shit in person. And yeah. All right. So good. I love the ActDef says, I made a Google spreadsheet. That's fine. That's a good way to do it. If you want to do your own virtual time capsule, that's fine too. A file you don't look at for a year. All right. Anyhow, let's get into our gaming weeks. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and what we've been playing. So usually I would start with Dark Soccer. She stepped away for a moment, so I'm going to go ahead and start with Loki. How was your game week?
Yeah, so I didn't play a ton of stuff this week. It's been mainly Orna, and it's been Minecraft. I finished a lighthouse in the redstone with that. I finished tidying up some stuff. And then because my kids kept saying they were making secret bases, I made a secret base so that they'll never find it.
You need to do a video tour to supplement for our audience here who wants to see some of your Minecraft stuff.
Yeah, I kept thinking about doing streaming stuff for that, and it would be fun. There's a lot of people that do like their Survivor multiplayer servers and stuff. That's really a lot of fun if you have a lot of people that are streaming playing with you. Then you can just keep going on there. But yeah, I should probably do that. I've been thinking about it.
That was a good little bonus content thing. All right. I see Dark Sakura is back at her chair. So if she doesn't mind me calling on her, oh, she's getting ready to eat something. So maybe I will do my gaming week and then we'll come back to Dark Sakura, or you want to go?
I can do mine.
Okay. So Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I can multitask. It's just pudding.
Okay. Pudding pops. All right.
Pudding.
A pudding.
Because I accidentally swallowed soap when I took my shower earlier and my throat hurts.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing, but I'm not meaning to. I'm sorry, but it's just like, oh God, the misfortune.
I slipped while I had my sudsy thing, and it was gross.
I'm sorry.
It was also my exfoliating face stuff, too, so my throat now has ground up coffee.
That was God. She's telling you got a nasty mouth. You clean up your act.
Pudding.
All right. How was your gaming week?
It was okay. I mean, mostly, like, I really didn't play a whole lot of anything in favor of watching AGDQ. I played Animal Crossing, of course. Patterned has new things out, and so I've been playing Patterned again because y'all know I love that game. And yeah, that's been about it, but I have other things that I'll need to ask of our listeners when we're done with this segment.
All right, we'll come back to that. I'll get into my gaming week. Okay, I've been waiting to tell you guys about this one because I know you're going to tease me and I totally deserve it, but I do want to talk about this a little bit. So, do you remember about a year and a half ago, I played an ORG, an online reality game, an org, and I won? You remember that? And I talked about that and I called it, it's funny that we got into Survivor jokes earlier because I called it a Survivor LARP. You remember that whole thing? Well, I haven't played anything in quite a while, but for the last 2 weeks, I actually have been playing another one, but I was playing in secret because it was an anonymous game, meaning the people in it did not know who each other were. Now, hold on to your butts, because if you think me talking about participating in a Survivor LARP is the nerdiest thing you've ever fucking heard, wait, wait, lay theys and gentle them, wait, because I've got more. The anonymous org that I was participating in was based off of the television show Schitt's Creek, where we all had to role play various members of the Schitt's Creek community. I want you to keep in mind, I've seen the show Schitt's Creek 4 times. I think it's a hilarious fucking show. The things I've watched, I've enjoyed it. Y'all know I just play so many video games, I hardly ever have time for TV. So I was playing this game, and it wasn't totally Survivor. It was like Big Brother, and it was all like, it was a bunch of psychological games, like all mishmatched together. It was pretty intense for the 2 weeks. Things like that. I'll give you an example. For example, it'll be like, okay, the 8 people that are left in the game, you have a gold medal, a silver medal, and a bronze medal. You can give one of these medals to somebody else in the game. The gold's worth 5, the silver's worth 3, the bronze is worth 1. Whoever has the least amount of points at the end of this will go up for eviction. Like the bottom 3 or something like that will go up for eviction. So that was like what it was. And so it was like little games. And there was one, I will tell you, where my video gamer ass blew everybody away. One of the games was we got to play Tetris, a mobile phone. You had to take a screenshot of a Tetris game. Y'all, I smoked the competition in Tetris, and I played it 1 time. Thank you, Tetris Effect, my 2019 or 18 game of the year, for all the practice with Tetris that when I played played it on the phone, it was not a problem for me, and that was a lot of fun. So Pixel Paca says, wait, so it's Schitt's Creek RP mixed with Survivor game? Yes. This is the 6th or 7th circle of nerddom hell, and it was so much fucking fun. Like, I have to tell you, people were really into their characters. And the chat is dying to know, were you Moira? No, I was not Moira. In fact, unfortunately, Moira and I were very much on strategical opposite sides. A great person, I'm sure, but in the context of the game, strategically, we were just like completely opposite sides. Which is funny, because the character I was assigned was Johnny Rose, or Eugene Levy in the show. So my wife and I fought the entire game, basically.
The show.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Sort of.
Well, the hilarious thing, I had a tight alliance. So the alliance was me, Jocelyn Schitt, and Ted, the veterinarian who I think dates Alexis or something in a story arc, and Robin. Robin is Moira's wig in one of the episodes early on. So this was the alliance that pretty much owned the game right to the end of the game. And there were other alliances and things like that. But, you know, we were four of the final 5, basically. So we were kind of in cahoots with Patrick, another character. So isn't this the nerdiest fucking thing you've ever heard about in your life? But it was so much fun. And, like, getting to talk to everybody afterwards. Like, legit, the people I talked to a lot, it was all done on Slack. You're probably wondering, how do you do this? And this is part of the reason I agreed to do it. Because I knew it wouldn't be video calls until late in the morning, like it was last time I played. I knew the challenges wouldn't be insane, like 2-hour endurance challenges, like how long can you stand on 1 foot, you know, things like that. I knew it would be like quick and easy type of stuff. And playing on Slack was how we did it, was that it was only going to be text chat and things like that. And it kind of was like a throwback to when I used to do this shit on AOL Instant Messenger back in the day on LiveJournal. So yeah, that's how it was. So that's my adventure into the sixth or seventh circle of nerddom hell. And I loved it. And yeah, do you want to know how I did? I was the runner up. I did not win this time. I was the runner up. I got beat unanimously by the person that won, but I kind of knew it was coming. I know exactly what the Jocelyn shit won the game. Spoiler alert. Because I don't think it's all posted yet. Sorry, Francis, if you're listening. You didn't make me sign a contract though. So Jocelyn won the game, and she had very, very strong social connections. I got to know, and it's so weird because we were in these characters, but at a certain point, the role play kind of stops and you get to know each other like as people, even though I don't actually know who it is. But it was somebody I didn't know before. She told me about how she's always been the runner up in games. She's never won a game. And so she won this one. I'm like legit happy for her. She deserved it. I know exactly mostly what I did wrong. I would have hoped I got one vote, but it's all right. I'm over it. I knew going into it was probably going to go this way, and how her game was better and all that. And she totally earned it. And I will have you all know, because it was anonymous, nobody knew who was what. And people could be characters that were not their own gender or whatever they wanted to do, right? Out of the 11 players in the game, 10 of them were men in real life. And yes, the person playing Moira was a man. Robin was a man. They were all men. One woman in the entire game. And guess what? The woman was Jocelyn's shit. So a woman conquered the entire game. So misogyny is dead in 2021. Let's hope. All right. But no, seriously, congrats. If Jessica's out there listening, because I told her about the show, you earned it. You did an amazing job. And yeah, legit, I met some really rad people in that. So that's why I talk about it on the show. And you know, if y'all can play D&D, it's basically that, okay? But like a somehow nerdier version of it.
Rob.
What?
I got invited to join a role play group, and I think a few of them might be listening. So hello, travelers. but it's a supernatural one.
Well, you know,
guess who's playing a guy?
Oh, you?
This bitch.
All right, work.
Guess which guy I'm playing?
Castile?
No.
That's the only character name. Dean?
Sam.
Oh, so close.
My favorite.
I only know some of their names. All right.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, no, It's great. You know, in all seriousness, you know, why are you talking about this on your video game podcast and all that stuff? You know, we just had this discussion a little bit ago about like mental health and things you have to do to get through. A big reason why I signed up for the game was because this was that same week during the holidays where I had to cancel Christmas. I had to cancel New Year's. I wasn't doing anything. So even though, you know, let's all point and laugh at Rob for doing one of these again when he said it's going to take a lot. You know what? A pandemic, turns out it's a lot. It was enough to get me to go do that again. So that was that. I'll give the community a shout out too. The community is called TV Land, kind of like the network over on Facebook. And if this sounds like the sixth or seventh circle of nerddom hell you'd like to live in, go say hi, go check it out. They're planning another season. I can't say much about it, but they're quick games. Get your mind off of the bullshit in the real world for a while. Yeah. So shout out to Francis and Stefan over there who did a great job, with the, TV Land game. I had a lot of fun. Other games I've been playing this week. I randomly went on Xbox and started downloading more titles. I checked out the Burnout Paradise. I keep wanting to say Burnout Paradise City, but that's not it. But I played Burnout Paradise Remastered because it's on Xbox Game Pass, and I was like, I haven't played a Burnout game in like 5 years. I want to play one. And so that was really fun. I was trying to get some achievements in that, and it looks really good and really snappy on the Xbox Series X. I had a lot of fun with that. I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go. So they did these collection challenges this week, and I was about ready to throw my phone because I could not catch one of the stupid Pokemon that I needed to catch. But I finally got it yesterday, so all is well. Unclench. But I like the idea of these little mini challenges with collection medals. I just wish there was a way to ensure that some of the Pokespawns were like a sure thing. because that part started to get really frustrating. That was okay. That was what was starting to get irritating. Otherwise, some of the other typical GPS games and Final Fantasy 14, as always. I'm still playing that thing. Crafting is getting a big thing next week in the game, and so I'm all ready for it. So yeah, that's been a really good escape too, to get together with friends and do things in Final Fantasy 14, because I can't do things with friends in the real world. So thank you, video games. Thank you, Survivor LARPs. Thank you, all these things that help us. Thank you, AGDQ, and all these things that help us take our mind off it. That's for sure. All right, let's get into some other news. Before we do, I think Dark Sakura, you wanted to like throw out something with listeners, right?
I did. So one of our longtime friends in the show and a really, really long-term friend of mine, Gwen, who may still be in chat under Finara, I want to do a few things to help her out. She's been in a really tough situation. That's her story to tell. But she's had a lot of very personal loss just in the last few months and needs some help. So I do have a GoFundMe set up. I'll be linking it in chat, and it's pinned on my Twitter page at Dark Sakura. But I would like the listeners to pick a game that's in my I almost said Twitch, and it's a Steam in my Steam library, or if I can get it figured out, just some classic game that I own, something. You know, even if it's something that you think I'll hate, if it's a game that you think I'll hate and I don't own it, I will accept you buying it for me and I will play it.
If it's Halo, but, in other words, is what you're saying. If it's Halo.
Yeah, because I ain't spending money on that shit. I mean, we have a bunch of Halos on other systems, so I mean, I guess I could hook up one of the Xboxes.
We can. I can ding dong ditch you my old Xbox One with my Master Collection, Master Chief Collection disc, if we need to. Like, there's ways.
Okay.
There are ways. Yeah.
Okay. But I will once I can, you know, get set everything set up. My goal would be to raise money during it, but whoever contributes. I'm trying to think of how to do this right way because I don't want to get the channel in trouble or anything.
Don't commit on air. Maybe just like, you know, to be continued on your Twitter as you work some of these things out. But yeah.
I'm looking for suggestions, but I will take donations with the suggestions, and that will add a triple vote.
Okay.
Based on a certain dollar amount. And I'll put something like that on my Facebook. Not
Sounds
my Facebook,
good.
But my Twitter, because Facebook sucks.
And Twitter's more public anyway, so it's easier. All right.
Exactly.
Well, best of luck. I hope I can't wait to support the stream or whatever it is you end up doing with that. Be fun.
I'll put it this way. Every $10 amount, so every multiple of 10, will count as an extra vote toward that game.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Set a date, though, but not, you don't have to do it right now, but maybe like next week. All right.
Well, yeah, it's probably going to happen. My goal, actually, is to get this going on sometime either next week or the week after. But I want to promote it this week and let people think about it.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some gaming news. There are some things going on this week, even though, you know, it's a slower time of year for gaming news. We still have a few things to talk about. And sometimes that is things from not just last year, but many years ago, right, Loki?
Yes, from 2006. So apparently Core Design was a studio that was behind the original Tomb Raider series. They were working on a remake of the original game for its 10th anniversary on PSP. And, of course, you know, the game never came out on PSP. Well, now they have apparently the contents of the game have been uploaded to the Internet Archive as part of, I guess, the doing of this Tomb Raider fan site called the Tomb of Ash. And apparently you're able to take this and actually play it. It looks pretty good, actually, considering, you know, it's a remake of the first game. I mean, I could definitely see this being released. I don't know why it wasn't released at all, but apparently, it says the game had been canceled. Instead of being published, Sly Entertainment, they went with a multi-platform remake developed by Crystal Dynamics, which was the Tomb Raider anniversary game. So this pitch didn't end up making it into a final game, but the Crystal Dynamics one did. So, yeah, too bad. It looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, I love when these, like, unearthed games kind of show up all over again, and it's, like, kind of getting to discover this thing. And that's kind of been a thing. I feel like we've seen more and more of it in the past couple months. Like, Sega put out that Golden Axe thing not that long ago, right? Like, there's been little, like, these canceled projects coming back to life. And I like it when it's official. Like, obviously, the Nintendo hack stuff is super dicey, but when, like, the companies kind of, like, embrace it a little bit, it's cool. Although, I guess this one wasn't really embraced, right? Or...
Well, I think it was just that there was another project going on at the same time, so it just didn't end up, you know, coming to fruition, but still pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd love to check it out. Do I even have a working PSP? I guess I still have a working Vita, so there is that, but might be kind of hard to get going. I don't know. Let's move on and talk about something else from the past that's been making headlines this week. You've probably seen this all around different gaming blogs, and that is a conversation between Microsoft and Nintendo. In fact, a lot of the headlines say Microsoft tried to buy Nintendo at some point, and essentially, and a lot of the headlines are saying, and got laughed out of the room as a result. Which I don't know if it's quite that simple. I mean, surely that was probably part of the discussion, but it also might have been a starting point to try to get to another type of agreement, and maybe that is Nintendo games on the Xbox, which obviously we all know Nintendo wants no part of that shit. Nintendo, you know, they kind of started to go down that road with the whole CDI. I know that was a little bit different. The CDI was a result of the CD expansion for the Super Nintendo that never happened as part of, like, the divorce agreement between Philips, who was helping to work on it, and Nintendo. Philips got the right to use, like, 5 Nintendo characters in their own games, thus the Wanda Gamelon and some other games that really were a stain for Nintendo. So Nintendo has no interest in being on other platforms, like, ever again. Like, Nintendo will die as a company before that ever happens. Right.
As far as licensing games to, like, have Microsoft make a Nintendo game or something like that, and I don't even know necessarily if they're totally opposed to that. I mean, you have, you know, the Mario and Sonic games, and those, you know, are being developed by Sega.
True.
And there's been other games, you know, have been developed by Namco and stuff like that. So I don't think that they're completely... you know, shooting all of those down, but, like, I mean, it would be pretty cool if they had, like, a service of their own games that they could, you know, say, for example, if I could get the Nintendo Online channel on, you know, my Xbox or something like that.
Just say Game Pass on Switch. Just lean all the way in. Okay. The only thing, though, is this story is about a meeting that happened in January 2000. So Game Pass wasn't even in anybody's imagination at that point. Yeah, it was a long time ago this meeting happened. So they were still planning the Xbox at this time. And, you know, and before you say, God, what a bunch of idiots at Microsoft. Keep in mind, in the year 2000, you're coming back. The Wii hadn't happened yet. So you're coming off, and the GameCube wasn't out yet. You were coming off the Nintendo 64 and some technology that was really starting to, like, not be on that same level as where Sony was at. So that was kind of Microsoft's leveraging, was you give us the games, we'll give you the technology. This is a great partnership. And honestly, yes. But, you know, and any fanboy who's ever said, I wish they would just put Mario games on the PlayStation or on the, like, that's basically what Microsoft went in there asking. But, you know, it's obviously not taking into consideration that Nintendo wants no fucking part of that. They don't need it. They don't want it. They ain't going to have it. And so that what leads to the headline where they got laughed out of the room. Head of business development for Microsoft, Bob McBreen, said in an interview, we actually had Nintendo in our building in January 2000 to work through the details of a joint venture where we gave them all the technical specs of the Xbox. The pitch was their hardware stunk, and compared to Sony PlayStation, it did. So the idea was, listen, you're much better at the game portions of it with Mario and all that stuff. Why don't you let us take care of the hardware? And then I love this, but it didn't work out.
It didn't. Oh,
but it didn't work out. But on one hand, honestly, was Microsoft wrong? I don't think they were wrong. But the only thing they were wrong about is that Nintendo doesn't give a fuck. Nintendo has their own approach to things, and that continues on into the year 2021. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that was going around, but especially because that headline where like Nintendo laughed Microsoft out of the room, and I'm kind of like, I think it goes a little deeper than that. Like, would if I went back and looked at your old tweets, did you laugh Microsoft out of the room on these things where, you know, Mario should come to PlayStation, all that stuff? Because I don't think a lot of people did. So
I don't think I was even thinking about that.
Yeah. Now, some folks in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Pod Culture is saying Master Chief in Smash, and then ActDev points out Banjo-Kazooie and Steve are in Smash. So who's to say that a meeting back in 2000 didn't at least, and even if they all had a good laugh about it, whether they were laughing with or laughing at, who's to say that opening those lines of communication all those years ago didn't lead to something like what we see now, which is a little more of, you know, the little bit of helping each other out here and there. So, and SSJ100 Matt says it was not seriously entertained was the actual comment. Really? Because the one I read said, but it didn't work out. You don't say. All right. I thought that was an interesting story. And I love those little pieces of gaming history where it's kind of like, what could have been? Who knows? Anyway, Dark Sakura, why don't you take us to our next story?
The multiple winner of the Tetris World Champ that I can't make even words happen. The classic Tetris world champion, Jonas Neubauer, has died. I don't see exactly what it was that did it. I'd have to look.
I think they've just said sudden emergency. So it kind of, you know.
Yeah, it does say sudden emergency, but it's still, I mean, he won 7 times. So, I mean, that's a very important, you know, person, I guess, in the community, and to lose somebody so suddenly, you know, just wishing the best for his family.
Yeah, this is some really sad news. There's no real easy way to talk about it, especially somebody young. This guy was like 3 years younger than I am. So it's really tragic to hear about these types of things. And I think a lot of you probably watched those Tetris World Championship videos that this guy, yes, it was that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was in them that passed away, and that's really, really sad. So, tipping our hat and remembering this week. Let's move on. Try to move on to other news. It's been a heavy week, and that has led to some things in the gaming world too, right, Loki?
Yeah. So there was some interesting things going on Twitch. So apparently one of the emotes, PogChamp, was featuring the face of streamer Ryan Guchex Gutierrez. And apparently they took it down because he was tweeting some extremely questionable things, and they didn't want to necessarily associate with him. So because of that, they had disabled the PogChamp emote and... Eventually then are replacing it now with a new PogChamp emote that will feature different streamers' faces making the same face that they're going to swap out every 24 hours. Hopefully none of them have said questionable things on Twitter.
Well, honestly, although obviously the situation is yikes, the resolution kind of leads to one of those things where it's like, this is kind of the way it should have always been. You know,
yeah.
Like Twitch is more than about one person. Like, I'm not here to like knock people like, you know, Ninja or whatever that have done very well. I mean, unless they act a fool, then I will knock them. But, you know, as far as like their success, you know, and stuff like that, hey, great, they've been successful. But Twitch is much more than one person, you know, or one, you know, community. It's about the greater community of all these great Twitch streamers that we have. And yes, diverse types of Twitch streamers that we have and I'm not just talking about, you know, things like sexuality and colors of people's skin, but the countries they're playing from, the types of, I mean, that's all important too. Don't get me wrong, but like the types of games that they're playing as well, the things that they're into and the stories they have to share. So I like this resolution, even though the way we got here was a bit of a, I'm kind of like, it should have just been this way from day one. Like, have a rotating face of the, why not? The people on the front page rotate every day. So why not have some of your emotes rotate as well all the time? So I think that's kind of neat.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's interesting. SG100 Matt says, I knew the emoji, didn't know it was an actual personality. Yeah. A lot of people didn't know where it came from, but you know, I'm glad they addressed it. And ultimately, you know, you can QQ about free speech all you want. Although, you know, big, huge, fat reminder, free speech doesn't apply to private platforms. So, period. That's
no, it
not
really has to do with criticizing the government.
Yeah. So, you can go. Free speech is what allows me to say President Trump sucks. Because in some other countries, you criticize a leader like that, you get thrown in jail. So, I'm thankful for
but
folks.
That you can yell fire in a movie theater. Just saying.
Right. So, anyway. Civics lesson another day. But I think it's also important with everything that's been going on this week. But I think it's really great that we're, you know, highlighting again a bunch of different people and things like that. So, and Bobby Blackwolf rotating through some of the other popular emotes saying these are also people. Yes, of course, they're modeled after people. Now, do you guys want a hot take that I think is not going to be popular, but I'm going to say it anyway? I think in general, these emotes of people's faces are generally a bad idea. Now, don't get me wrong. Hold on. Let me finish. The PogChamp stuff, cool. Some of these iconic Twitter things that, you know, folks have, cool. But if somebody, and nobody has, but I'm going to say it anyway. If somebody were to come up to me and say, what emote icon should I make for my channel? I'm going to say, please don't use pictures of your face. Because That's everywhere. Use something else.
And maybe it's just my old speaking here, but I don't know what half of that stuff means anyways.
Exactly.
Like the faces and stuff. Exactly. I have no idea what it's representing. Cool, I guess. I mean, they can have their own, you know, speech in Twitch and whatnot, but I just don't get it.
Hate seeing them. They're very annoying.
Yeah, Sia Tiberi just posted a couple, and you know, and I know you're doing it to be tongue-in-cheek and on topic, but I literally don't know what I'm looking at. They're so small, I don't know what they are. Now, the face palm, I get that one.
Especially like when we're talking like, you know, even more popular chat rooms and stuff, we're just scrolling by. It's like, I don't know what that's just garbage. It's literally just garbage
people
being thrown in my face.
Yeah, so just something to think about. Now, when I was watching GDQ, do you know what the most common, well, there were two common emotes that I saw? The lamp, which is an inside joke, but it makes sense.
The lamp is great.
It's not somebody's face. I'll give it that. And the clapping emoji. Yes, that. That is a good one to spam because we're not in person. We don't have an audience. So yes, use your clapping emoji and use it a lot. I believe in fairies. Yes, clap, okay? It makes sense. So anyway. Again, like, you guys are posting these emotes, and I'm like, what the hell are these? I don't even know. All right, anyway. Let's move on, shall we? Let's move on to a story about Monster Hunter. You guys have some Monster Hunter emotes to share? Because that's what's topical for this story. A brand new demo for Monster Hunter Rise came out just this past week. If you weren't already aware, I'm sure if you're a Monster Hunter fan, you are. But if you didn't know, there is a demo now available for Monster Hunter Rise, and it's available on the Switch eShop. It is a limited time demo. You have to grab it before January 31st.
Ugh.
Don't we love our limited time?
I love, like, it's like Nintendo and we're not artificially shorting anybody with supplies.
I don't think this is Nintendo. It's Capcom.
Yeah, but this is how they handle their demos. Whether it's like, you know, it's for a limited time, or we're gonna allow you to play this demo only 30 times before you can't play it anymore. It's a Nintendo thing.
So it is limited to, there are 30 quests in the game, and Dark Tetsuya in chat says it's limited to 30 plays. So it's that same kind of
totally,
thing.
Totally Nintendo, told ya.
You know, that part's Nintendo, yeah. So, but Bobby says this one specifically is a Capcom thing. So maybe, but Nintendo started it, Capcom's continuing it, I don't know. But yeah, so but 30 is a lot. I mean, on those, here's the thing. Have you ever actually used 30 plays of a demo?
My kids have, yes.
Okay. All right, I'll let it go. All right.
Me on Jumping Flash.
I guess there was that time I downloaded the Luminous demo from an E3 kiosk with the DS download thing, and I refused to turn off my DS for like 3 weeks so I could keep playing the Luminous demo.
I do remember that.
Yeah, so...
I used to play all the PlayStation Magazine demos. Used to bring in the school and we'd play like the Cool Borders 2 demo over and over and over and over and over again. And then eventually I bought the game.
Bobby says Capcom did this even in other countries. So anyway, all right, let's move on. I'm curious because I'm not a big Monster Hunter person. Bobby says other consoles, not other countries. So the same deal is on the PlayStation, whatever. So anyway, my point is, outside the weird constrictions of it, I don't get into Monster Hunter. I have tried several times. There was one on the Wii U I tried to get into. Couldn't get into it. I tried playing Dauntless not that long ago. I think I saw VG Realness or somebody streaming it. And I was like, I want to try this. And I couldn't get into it. It's like, I can never get into these Monster Hunter games. And I just, no offense to the fandom, I know these games are huge. I just can't get into it. So for those that are into the fandom, what did you think of Monster Hunter Rise, the demo? Because admittedly, I haven't tried it. And I'm not exactly in a hurry to, although I probably will at some point. So I'm kind of curious what those of you who actually played the demo feel about it. So, Dark Tetsuya says, it seems like it might be more fun than Generations Ultimate, at least. So, Sia Tiberi says, I'd rather be playing Monster Rancher. All right, fine. Questbuster says, Monster Hunter World is good stuff, but I still need to try out the Rise demo. Shad Starzik, or Shane, has actually played the demo, thank you, and says, the Rise demo was crazy fun and ran so well compared to what I was expecting. Because it is on the Switch, and so, again, and we just talked about this with the Nintendo-Microsoft boardroom story, Nintendo is not known for pushing the boundaries on tech, so it's still coming off as impressive, even with the fact that it's on the Switch. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, that's fair. It's probably harder to get into if you're not already familiar, which is probably a bad idea. Fifth Dream says, Monster Hunter World was the only Monster Hunter I played, and I loved it, and I burnt myself out on Monster Hunter after like 700 hours, so I'm done with it. Wow. You say that now, Fifth Dream, but just one hit of the new one. You never know. So anyway, thank you guys for the feedback. I'll check it out at some point. I got to go in and download it. But I guess it was doing so well, it like crashed the servers the day it went up. So a lot of people wanted to check that out. All right. Moving on. Just a few more stories and we'll get to our classic game of the week. But first, Stark Sakura.
One of the things about AGDQ this year is that we saw, and one of them I watched, a... two world records broken back to back. That was pretty cool. The one I actually sat and watched was Sonic Fox. Flying Fox. I don't know why I said Sonic Fox. That's a different person. Flying Fox played it was the Sonic the Hedgehog 2013 and Sonic 3 Angel Island Revisited were the two games that were played. So Sonic the Hedgehog 2013, I believe it was the Android one that had some elements from the later Sonic games. And she beat her time. Actually, she matched the world record during her practice, I think, and then well surpassed it during the final run. And then right after that, Zaxxon 96 broke the world record for Sonic 3 Angel Island Revisited. I didn't watch that one, but I did see Flying Fox. And just actually just funny watching her reaction was absolutely breathtaking. I mean, just I love watching that moment where someone accomplishes something and they don't quite believe it. Make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it was really good and congratulations.
Bobby Blackwolf went into great detail on Awesome Games Done Quick on his show tonight, since he's able to give a little bit of an insider's perspective, you know, having been a volunteer again this year, or specifically a host, I should say, because I think there's a difference between those two titles. Bobby gave a lot of insight there and was talking about how the speedrun he was hosting for Yoshi's Island ended up being like the number three best time of that game ever, if the person running it didn't already have number two. and you only get on the scoreboard once, basically. So it would have been number three. And obviously a lot of people were talking about stage 5-4 and just some of the crazy. And I was actually watching that I did see that part on Wednesday, and that was insanity. That was just like, damn, that takes some skills.
I went trying to find the other ones and I couldn't, because I knew that there were a couple others that I didn't catch, but that one for me, just because it was when I witnessed, I was like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, very cool.
What were the other two?
Bobby's saying there were four in all that happened.
Well, right.
During the event.
Oh, Diablo 3. Okay.
Wow, Diablo 3, three-man, even world record, the four-man time. That's pretty impressive. And then Super Ore Brothers.
Yeah, that one I did see, because they allotted like 40 minutes to the slot, and dude beat it in like, what, 15 minutes? 15 minutes, something like that? No, it was pretty quick. No, I take that back. 18, because his time, the world record was 36, and he cut it directly in half.
Oh, wow.
Roundabout. Yeah. Nice. And that was really fun, because that one, for a Kaizo-style game, it didn't have the same feel to me as a Kaizo game. It was more of a technical game, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, not everything in the universe was trying to kill you. You just had a set way that you had to beat the puzzle.
Right.
And... yeah, Super Ore Brothers was a really good one. I that was probably one of my favorite runs to watch, next to Rugby Baby.
that was a great moment.
Cracking up so hard.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it, because people got to watch it for themselves.
No. But I need to find a picture of like the happiest moment for that baby, and have that be like my new icon for everything.
All right. All right, let's move on. And hey, guys, let's talk about nudity, Loki.
Yes. So apparently Koei Tecmo has filed charges against somebody that was allegedly selling unlicensed DVDs filled with naked, dead or alive characters. So this is kind of like your Rule 34 stuff, where they I don't know if they're still using like the Source filmmaker and stuff to make some of these things, but you know, the like CG animated, like take video game characters and have them doing illicit stuff. Well, kind of the same type of thing. They made a Dead or Alive Extreme Venus Vacation and have been modding it to, you know, make it look like that they're engaging in sexual activities and then selling DVDs, which is a big no-no because you don't own those characters. And also, who buys DVDs nowadays? But apparently they have, you know, gone after them because obviously copyright issues. But it's the internet. All that stuff's out there.
Those boobies are copyright Koei Tecmo.
Those are, we own those. But yeah, so.
Still, I haven't heard of a lot of legal action against a nude mod in quite some time.
Well, it's not necessarily a mod per se. I mean, I guess it could be, but it's more of just like taking the characters and then like turning it into like their own thing. Kind of like how you see a lot of the folks doing stuff with the Overwatch characters and stuff like that. Like Activision Blizzard could come after them, you know, for doing that type of thing, especially if they're profiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it's, you know, kind of anonymous on the internet, and people aren't necessarily selling DVDs of it, but if they were caught, they could be, you know, responsible for, you know, penalties because of copyright infringement.
All right. I got no good transition here, so I'm just going to get into the next story. Which has to do with Minecraft Earth, or should I say had to do with Minecraft Earth, because Minecraft Earth, which again is the phone game, the AR game for Minecraft.
Yeah.
People were saying it's like Pokemon Go. I was like, that is how you know somebody hasn't played it. It was nothing like Pokemon Go. It just happened to take place in the real world. Loki, you've probably played a little bit more of this than anyone else here. So let me finish here real quick. They're shutting it down June 30th, 2021 because it didn't work.
Yeah, and one good thing, though, is like if you did purchase anything in the game, they are giving you a free copy of Minecraft. So if you do end up, I don't know. But basically, the problem with it was there's like no point to it. Like it was like you go and click these tappable things to get resources, which you could use to get blocks in the game to build stuff. But like honestly, like the build spaces that you had, there's no shortage of blocks. I mean, it's pretty much almost impossible not to have the resources to do things in the game. And I don't know if I didn't really play it very long. So like they didn't haven't even really gotten to like a lot of the crafting stuff in there. I mean, you can make tools and stuff, but a lot of that wasn't fully implemented yet when I had stopped playing it. The AR stuff that they did was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was definitely really awesome. The problem was because a lot of the AR stuff was reliant on you going places to do all that, it was hard to kind of do that in a pandemic.
And that was my next question was, is this because of the pandemic? Like I heard they made some changes to try to make it a little more like Pokemon Go did the same thing. That is something those games have in common.
So that you would get like these like gem things that you would be able to redeem to like kind of spawn one of those instances near where your location was. Mm. And they were kind of cool. I mean, but it was just, there wasn't really like an end goal. Like there was like different achievements that you had along the way to get more XP that you're like, okay, you know, today you have to capture 5 sheep or something like that. And some of it was like kind of hard to do, but like, it was just, I don't know. There was never really a point to it. And also it ate my battery. Like it was a very unoptimized game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that ever changed, but like, when I was playing it in the very early part of when it came out, it was just so, so unoptimized. Yeah. I think it's gotten better. I've seen like some folks, you know, especially they've partnered with different Minecraft streamers to kind of showcase the different things. I know there's one I watch with some of the folks from Hermitcraft, Grian and Mumbo, who do, they did this like kind of road trip thing, and they really made Stonehenge and stuff and recreated that in Minecraft Earth. And so it was kind of cool. But it's just, I don't know. It's a really great concept. I think it was not executed great though. Well,
and I think maybe the pandemic also just like didn't help the inertia in the game. And yeah, they didn't communicate well, like what was the point? You know, and I think that was a big problem with it. And what SSJ100 Matt is saying in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, I honestly forgot all about it, which I guess, in a sense, what was the problem. Me too, Matt, and the game is on my phone. And I just don't, because I always check out those AR games because I'm a sucker for all of them. I've played them all. And I forgot about Minecraft Earth. Because you're right, they weren't very good at communicating, like, what's the point? What's the competition? What am I going for here? What's, you know, what do I have to look forward to tomorrow? Where do I interact with other people? Like, that just didn't really get realized ever in the game. And I don't know if the pandemic just fucked that all up for them or what.
And they never, like, I know one of the things that they had talked about is, like, building creations and putting them out there in the real world, which you can sort of do and interact with them, but they're not persistent. Which is kind of irritating. I mean, I guess that's probably a good thing because there'd be dicks everywhere. But it's just, it would still be pretty cool, though, like get to have that stuff be persistent, because then you could just go places. And that would be more of like kind of like, ooh, I'm going to go to the park and see what's there, you know, or something. But there wasn't really anything like that. You could bring a creation that you make and put it out into the real world. But like it, I don't know. It was just, it was tough. It had a lot of good ideas, but in the end, I guess it's just not really successful. But I hope that they bring a lot of this. I mean, they've already brought some of the stuff over to the regular Minecraft. I hope that they bring a lot more of these mobs that they've created in this game to the vanilla Minecraft as well.
Okay. All right, well, let's take a trip down memory lane, and we're going to go to a time when there was no AR games. You couldn't play this stuff on your phone. You know why? Because your phone was in your car, or it was in your kitchen on a cord. It's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura is going to take a trip down memory lane and find a game in the vault that she thinks, hey, this game is worthy of your attention. And by the way, before we get into tonight's game, a quick follow-up to last week, Dark Sakura. You would be very proud of our Twitter people as they have, wiki people, as they have quickly added Fwag, or the fucking weird arcade game of the month, officially to the list for this year. So
I saw.
Everything is set up. Wonderful.
Thank you, 5 people.
All right. But anyway, tonight is not a Fwag because you did one last week. So we've got a good old classic. In fact, again, Here we are again, episode 851. You have literally picked 601 of these over the years. We started the segment in episode 250. You have picked 601 games. Somehow, have never picked this one, which I'm like, what? Well, you picked adjacent games, but you didn't do this one. Yeah, this one, or the one I played, Darksoccer. All right, what is it? Let's get to it. What is the classic game of the week?
I picked the NES version of Strider.
By the way, you're a little quiet for the listeners. You might want to get just a little bit closer to the microphone. I think you'll be better.
Fucking thing. Sorry, oh, yeah, I'm a professional. Yeah,
no, you're fine. You're much better now. Yeah.
Well, it's just because the thing tilts down and I don't have anything to hold that in place. So everyone can see me fighting my mic on. Oh, nope. God, I hate this thing.
No, they can't see it because they're watching Strider.
Oh, good. Well, I hate my pop filter and I want it to die. Right. Oh, my God, I hate you. Okay, there we go. And that's the sounds of what happens when I fight my tech equipment, y'all. How I sound now?
You sound very loud and very clear. So Strider.
Good. All right, Strider. So this particular version of Strider came out in 1998 for the NES, released by Capcom, only in North America. I think only in North America. There was a Famicom version was never released. This was developed in tandem with the arcade version. So also the NES version was included in the 2006 Game Boy Advance compilation Capcom Classics Mini Mix. So I'm going to back off a little bit and say that this game is not the same Strider that you think it is. It's a little bit more of a scroller game, side-scroller platformer, but you go and look around for these, kind of like more like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if that makes sense. You have to go find different items, get different discs that have information that goes with the plot. You have several characters that can also give you new abilities that help you like bypass different areas and everything. But now here is the thing about this game. This game is based off of a manga. Comic Comptique, which is a manga anthology that was published by Kadokawa Shoten, had a Strider Hiryu manga that was released from May to October issues 1988, and then a single issue released in November of that year. So it basically has the same characters and the plot that was used in the NES version, with a few differences there's certain characters that die, you know, they die in different places. Some characters live. And then there was an uncollected chapter that was called Strider Hiryu Gaiden. That was also published after the main series. So it has, more things that go after the ending of the game. But at any rate, yeah, this game, and it was actually named Strider Hiryu to be released in Japan. It was announced while the manga was out, and they had it scheduled to be released, but it got delayed to 1989, and then it was canceled. So we still had the localized version that came out here in the U.S. That came right after the arcade game. The artwork on it is interesting. It's just when they were doing the super American artwork. But, I mean, there's people who love this game. I mean, I'm not one of them. I'll just go ahead and say. But you can also, it's got an interesting story to it. I do enjoy the story to it. One of the thing also with this game is that you can use your it has a password system. So, but every time you request a password, the game will end with a description of your progress so far, and gives the title of the next adventure, like it was an anime or a TV series, or even in a manga series. So it's kind of neat, but yeah, it's not
if you're expecting to go through with ha 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 and sail in on glider and fight, you know, Ouroboros, it's not the same game. It's a completely different game.
It's a very different game. And you were kind of talking about, like, people, you know, maybe preferred this game. I wouldn't say I necessarily preferred it, but it's the only one I knew, you know, as a kid, because I didn't have a Genesis. For whatever reason, I never noticed the other Strider in the years. I think a couple of years later, I saw the Strider in the arcade at one point. I'm like, this is nothing like Strider, you know?
Yeah.
But my frame of reference was this particular game that we had rented a couple times, and I think Nintendo Power had some of the maps, and I thought the little tunnels that you traveled through were cool. So yeah, I have fond memories of this game, but it's clearly the Genesis and the arcade one are the better games. But this one was
game,
what's that?
His walking is so fucking weird in that game.
Yeah, but this game,
like,
is
gonna meet himself in the chin.
Well, and this was also the game that brought us that horrific triangle jumping. I don't know if you remember that from this game, but you had to, like, wall bounce, basically, and it was really, really hard to do and would just drive you crazy. I think they did something like it in a Metroid game or something later on. It was really awful there, too, but even harder here. I do remember this game. In fact, I see in the YouTube we're watching right now of somebody playing the game there in Egypt, and I remember this level. Like, I do. This is, you know, and it comes from an era of Capcom. There's definitely an engine that powers this game, the Capcom, you know, backbone of a lot of their 8-bit NES era games. There's a lot about this game that feels like DuckTales, Mega Man, Bionic Commando, and a lot of the NES games of the era. You know what I mean? Oh, that guy just wall-jumped right there. I hate that.
The sprite style is very similar to Bionic Commando, I think, stylistically. DuckTales, of course, has the Disney touch.
Yes, of course. Yeah, stylistically, I think Bionic Commando is probably the best comparison in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But I'll be honest, you know, I had never seen this when I was a kid. My first exposure to Strider was totally dying on the first stage in an arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Dan sitting me down when I moved out here and says, "You're required to play this." And I beat it.
I love that whole, these are the requirements to date. Number one, you will beat Strider.
there were a few requirements. Number one was don't smoke. Number two, beat Strider.
Reasonable.
Number three was playing through Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Again, reasonable.
Very reasonable. All games that I've beaten, and, you know, except for smoking, because that's disgusting, and I won't do it. So.
Well, and how many years have you been together as a result?
23 this month.
There you go. There you go.
Me personally living in this state on the 23rd.
Oh, it's your golden year. All right.
It's the year of consequence.
Anything else?
23 is the number of consequence.
Anything else to say about Strider?
I guess play it if you have it. Then you'll see why it makes me cry. That's some okay music in it, though.
Yeah, it does have some really good music. I think it's worth checking.
The manga is really good, though.
It's worth checking out just to see how starkly different the games are, and the fact that they were of, like, the same, you know, intellectual property, essentially, but they're two very different games.
But I actually did really enjoy the manga. It was not the same story.
That was the wall jump part, and that guy just did it flawlessly.
I can't watch it because it'll affect my internet. Yeah. But, I mean, the manga was pretty good. I look at it as just, like, a completely different universe from the main continuity, because the main continuity is from the arcade version followed by Strider 2, and then there was the remake from that series, so...
I like how every single person that's in this, or every single Sprite or enemy drops.
What do you mean? Just drops?
It just drops. Like, they spawn in, they drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of graphical bugs in this game. But on an old TV, keep in mind a lot of the bugs you see on the perimeter or the outside edges. Keep in mind an old CRT TV is going to hide that. So it looks bad now. It looks worse than it did back then when you were playing it on an old TV, because you can't see some of those graphical bugs that are on the edges. It was interesting. All right.
Wait, that was it.
There it is, your classic game of the week, Strider, the NES version specifically. All right. Thank you, Dark Soccer, for that pick. Let's get into some rapid-fire news and travel around the gaming world and see what else is happening this week. Loki.
It's all mods. So first we have this ridiculous snowboard mod for Witcher 3, which is hilarious. It allows you to add a snowboard to Geralt's inventory, and looks like it works almost like the shield in Breath of the Wild. I need to play this now. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. If you want to check it out, Nexus Mods, of course. And then, of course, there's a first-person mod for Mortal Kombat 11. So that's kind of interesting. That's like a straight out of the Street Fighter playbook there. So
yeah.
An FPS.
Oh, yeah, and that Switch version. That too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so... actually, I think the 3DS one had that too. But yeah, so that's also something you can check out as well. Pretty cool.
Well, I don't know how many of you had the Super Nintendo port of Street Fighter Alpha 2, because most people stuck to the Saturn or the PlayStation if they were going to play this game. But there was a Super Nintendo cartridge version of it. And get this, after 25 years, a cheat code has been discovered for this game. It was reverse engineered, and it has been discovered that on the if you put KAJ in the high score table, go to the title screen and hold down LXY and start on the second controller. That's a lot. You will be able to play the game as Shin Akuma. So that is something that has been hiding in that game all this time. What'd you say, Dark Soccer?
I own this game.
You own this game?
I own this game.
You should check it out.
Maybe so. Although, yeah. I always joke about this game as being like one of the first cartridge games I ever played that had load time.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, I figured you would have skipped the Super Nintendo one. I know you're a Street Fighter, you know, type of gal, obviously. Sakura came from somewhere.
I didn't have anything else. I had a NES. That was the best thing I had before I got here.
Okay, okay. I just always kind of...
I borrowed my friend's PlayStation forever, but I didn't move out here with anything new. Except I owned a copy of Final Fantasy VII, and that was, like, it.
Yeah, YYR...
And Dragon Ball GT.
YYR in chat says, holy crap, it's no wonder nobody ever found it naturally. And it kind of makes me wonder, why was it there in the first place? And usually with these cheat codes, the way it worked back in the day is that if they weren't found or they weren't, you know, whatever, within about a year, the cheat codes get leaked by the developer to draw interest in the game again and get the coverage in the magazines and all that stuff. So it's weird that it took 25 years in reverse engineering to figure this one out, especially when we're talking about another character in the game. That's a big fucking deal. Anyway, ActDef says the Super Nintendo port of Street Fighter Alpha 2 is a technical prowess. Yeah, for sure. I've played that on Super Nintendo, and it's a miracle that it runs, that's for sure. But maybe that's also it, is that, you know, that was really one of the last games on Super Nintendo. 96 is when that came out, right? Super Nintendo was really on its way out the door at that point. So, yeah. All right, anyway, also on its way out the door, Netflix. Not totally, just the version that's on the Wii U and the 3DS eShop. The service for Netflix will discontinue in June. The apps actually were already removed. You cannot download them. They are gone. If you already have the app, you are able to re-download it. But again, that will go away on June 30th. You may or may not remember the Wii version of Netflix. Yes, Netflix was on the Wii. Was turned off a long time ago. It was turned off back in 2019.
What if I have the disc?
Then it's not going to work anymore. That's the problem. They want to do like a firmware to Netflix over here. There's some older TVs that won't run it anymore and stuff too. So, and to be able to do things like Bandersnatch and some of the other things that they're doing with Netflix, they have to kind of get people off the old platforms. So sorry to those that were holding out. Loki, what do you have? I'm sorry. We're actually to Dark Sakura. What do you have for us?
Well, the total amount for AGDQ 2021 was $2.7 million for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. They even hit the final... God, why can't I think of the name?
the
incentive
to do to do the Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time glitch exhibition, which I hate this thing, which was actually really, really fun. But I started nodding off because it was after midnight. It was really great. It was really a lot of fun. We know about limited run games, right? But they are doing a pretty epic version of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game. Three different versions are coming out. So there's the classic edition. There's just the game, you know, that there's that. So there's also the game classic edition, which has an instruction book, a reversible cover, clamshell case, blah, blah, blah. It also has a physical CD for the soundtrack. Sticker sheet, a Clash of Demon Head commemorative concert ticket, and a map. And then there is the KO edition, which has all that stuff, and a CD and cassette of the a cassette tape of the soundtrack, a hardcover guidebook, the deluxe clamshell, the commemorative ticket, reversible covers, blah blah blah, full size drumsticks that feature the game art. Three Sex Bob-omb guitar picks, light, medium, and heavy gauges, a Scott Pilgrim loading screen enable pin, a high gloss foil, the seven evil X's, the trading cards, and two sticker sheets with...
Jamie, your voice is fading, just so you know.
It's because it's stupid mic. It's my mic stand, so... but at any rate, I need to figure this out. But at any rate... It goes on sale on January 15th, starting at 7 a.m. Pacific time for 6 weeks. And you can go online for your reservation.
All right. We're going to have to, I don't know if it's been done, but we need a Clash at Demon Head Classic Game of the Week so we can talk about that band. All right. Anyway, because that was a real game. I'm sure many of you know that, but some might not. I remember that game on the NES. All right. Let's move on. YYR with a hot tip in chat. Apparently Walmart is offering a $70 eShop gift card for only $49 right now, $49 and change right now. He went and he bought one. So if you want to discount it, who knows how long that'll be available. So hot tip for those of you watching live. All right. Let's move on. We have some more gaming news. Oh, but first we want to travel around the world and check out release dates. Although I have a feeling January is kind of a slow month, but let's check in. Loki?
Yeah. So we've got a few games coming out this week, starting off with Five Nights at Freddy's Core Collection on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, MXGP 2020 on PlayStation 5. And last but not least, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, complete edition on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia.
There is nothing in Japan this week. Next week, we get going again in Japan. Dark Sakura?
We have on the 12th of Five Nights at Freddy's Core Collection, and then this looks like the 14th, MXGP 2020, the official motocross video game on PlayStation.
Nice.
That be it.
All right, let's get back into some other news. Loki.
So apparently the Roblox Corporation, the creators of Roblox, have valued themselves at almost $30 billion after a recent round of investments. Of course, they still haven't listed themselves directly yet on the actual stock market, but so far investing seems to be going pretty well. I know my kids play it constantly, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I hear about that game a lot. So, and I've never really gotten into it myself, but because I think I'm not the right audience for it. But
it's definitely not what I'm into.
Yeah, but I mean, cool. Hey, you know, it seems like kids learn a lot from it. So, all right.
Yeah.
Something else you can learn a lot with: how to use a Twitter avatar to play video games. So this is very similar to maybe like Twitch plays Pokemon, but instead it's being done with somebody's Twitter avatar via Twitter. Now, they didn't suddenly figure out how to get like a fully animated Twitter avatar that plays out in real time. But what's happening is that it's a bot that essentially updates a screenshot in an avatar of Pokemon Red every 15 seconds. So what you do, you reply to a tweet, And every 15 seconds, it scans the replies to that tweet. And the button press that got the most tweets is the button that is pressed and the avatar is updated. And there it goes. It's like the old ass webcam from OLR's second or third year. It updates every 15 seconds. But that's what it is. And it's a clever way to do another type of Twitch Plays Pokemon experiment, which was the whole, it goes back to the whole, what is the analogy? Can an animal type a novel if you leave a typewriter in front of it or something like that? Like eventually it will type a novel. Eventually Twitter will beat Pokemon Red, because eventually Twitch did too, with the help of superheroes. And what were the big Pokemon names? But like they all had ridiculous names because none of it made sense. So, yeah.
Oh, there was the Helix thing.
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing. Yeah. SSG 100 Matt says, I remember that webcam. It was pointed at the guest couch, right? Yeah, it was. So Loki had actually built an old arcade cabinet. And so the camera was on top of the cabinet and pointed towards the couch. That's how it is. Yeah. Dark Tetsuya says something like, a thousand monkeys will eventually type Shakespeare. It's something along those lines. I forget. Anyway, whatever happened to that cabinet, Logan? That thing was fucking gigantic.
Oh, I dismantled it when I moved to the second apartment complex because it was upstairs. And no.
No.
Not moving that upstairs. It was too big. All right. Shouldn't have never built it.
Anyway, I think what is the link? I think it says Screenshakes is the Twitter account. If you want to check this out, I'm trying to load that up now and verify and actually maybe get a peek at where they're at in the game right now. But that is the account, I believe. Yeah, Screenshakes is the one, and I can't tell where they're at based on the avatar. My knowledge of Pokemon is not that good. I'd ask Shane to help, but he didn't like Gen 1, although he still probably knows. Looks like they're in some sort of town. It's loading very slowly for me. But yeah, Screenshake is the account you can do to get in on that if you want to play some Pokemon on Twitter. Moving on, I believe Dar Sakura is next.
Well, I might be.
I think you
Look,
are.
My mic's not moving. I figured out what the problem was. Anyway, Epic Games, they have just recently announced the acquisition of a video game software development company, Rad Game Tools. They basically were saying that that they are looking for them to assist with more photorealistic games, and that they're going to be partnering with Epic's rendering, animation, insights, and audio teams to bring that technology into Unreal Engine and beyond that. So they really like what they do and say they're going to play nice with them by buying them.
Sounds pretty rad.
Huh?
All right. But that's not the only thing we have to say about Epic Games, right, Loki?
Right, because as is the trend with a lot of this coronavirus and everything, is that a lot of malls aren't doing great, especially since nobody can shop in them. And in general, I know we have a local mall over here that's about ready to be shut down and bulldozed. But
childhood.
Apparently, the Cary Town Center, which is a 980,000 square foot site. And apparently it is this mall that Epic is looking to purchase, and they're going to make that their brand new campus for Epic Games. And so they're going to open it in 2024 after they refurbish and rebuild the area. So I don't know if they're going to tear down a lot of that stuff, but they're at least going to use the area to build their brand new campus. But I could see them like kind of just reusing them all.
Well, I hope they keep Auntie Anne's. Like, you know, there's certain things in the mall that really should stay that maybe the employees will want to enjoy.
Just based on, you know, looking at everything, the mall is pretty damn empty.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Sunrise Mall, is what you're saying.
It looks like our mall, yeah. Or pretty much.
I can't help but think about that Billie Eilish, is that her name, that video? Or I always say William Eyelash, like in the sketch that was on Saturday Night Live. Her video, have you seen that video where she's in the mall and she's just dancing around and seeing, because the mall is completely empty. And then, but for some reason, all the food stuff seems to be open. So she just walks into Auntie Anne's, grabs a pet pretzel, goes to Chipotle, gets a bag of chips. And I love it because it's just this whole, like, I'm just going to eat all this stuff energy. And I don't know what she's trying to say with the video, but I love it. Anyway.
Yeah, I do like the pretzel places. Like, if somebody would work to sell that stuff outside of, like, you know, in the mall, because, man, like, there's some of those, like, the, it wasn't Auntie Anne's that I used to go to. It was
Cinnabon?
Pretzel. No, it was Pretzel Time.
Oh, okay. Oh, the other one.
Like, those things are so soaked in butter. They're amazing. Like, I would just, like, so our local grocery store chain over here, Raley's, actually started selling giant pretzels out of their bakery. So that's pretty good. But they're not butter soaked like that stuff. I mean, like.
I like going to Wenzel's when I go to the Disneyland.
Yeah, so like.
Not Wenzel's. Is it Wenzel's pretzels?
Wenzel's pretzels. Wenzel's pretzels, yeah. Yes.
They have a small too. I need someone to sell them like that. Not the good pretzels, like, you know, the actual pretzels that you would make, the German pretzels, but like, I want the buttery ones. That's what, because like, what was it? The Dairy Queen bought up Orange Julius.
I was about to make an Orange Julius joke. For a while.
And they were going to have Orange Julius, and now they've discontinued the machines there too. I'm like, where the hell am I going to get my Orange Julius now?
Oh, no.
It's not in the mall. It's not in Dairy Queen. I mean, yeah, I can make it too at home. Like, I know how to make those, but like the authentic ones, though, like, I can't get that anymore because they've shut them all down.
SHA 100 Matt mentions the piercing pagoda will be across from HR.
Things though, with people buying the store, like buying the malls and turning them into housing, like transitional housing for the homeless.
Oh, I've heard of that too. Huh?
Yeah, I like that better.
I just love the imagery of Epic moving into a mall. It's just kind of like, you know, oh, you need to get to finance? Okay, just go through Claire's. Make a ride at Sbarro. All right. TJ Mama S says, will Suncoast and Sam Goody be open as well? Look, whatever Epic wants to
is
do.
Is there Sam Goody? No, neither of those exist anymore.
No, they don't. They don't.
Oh, fucking A.
All right. S200 Mask
says, true story. I think I bought my last 45 I ever bought at a Sam Goody.
The hot dog on the stick stand will be run by the iOS app developers. All right, enough mall jokes. Next.
There's a Suncoast. DJ Rama S says there's still a Suncoast. I'm like, the fuck?
Where? Well, there's still a Blockbuster. That's still on my to-do list if the pandemic doesn't finish it off. I'd love to go. But I think the last Blockbuster up in Oregon, that's now their whole, like, MO. They have made it their thing. It's like, we're a tourist destination now because we're the last Blockbuster.
The last Blockbuster in the village.
That's right. I am the only
Name
Blockbuster
somewhere,
in the
right?
village.
I just remember that Suncoast was the only place that I could go in and buy subbed anime.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Because I did not... I don't know. There's... A lot of people have a fond place for that, you know, mid-90s, late-90s... voice acting, you know, dubbed voice acting. But keep in mind that a lot of the stuff that I started watching was like taped off of TV in Japan, or, you know, six generation old fan subs.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to continue with some of the series that were now being commercially released with the same voices. And it was the only place that I could go get my Ranma VHS tapes fan subbed. Not fan subbed, just subtitled. So, and they always cost more. I never got why they cost more.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I've seen people do YouTube vids making the trek to the last Blockbuster video. You know, when I was doing that road trip where I went to go visit Shane back in like September, October, something like that, I really considered taking a detour through Oregon so I could go there, but it would have added like 6 hours to my trip. I needed another day so I could do it. Like, it just wasn't going to happen that time. But yeah, one of these days. When COVID's over, Dark Sakura, we'll go on a road trip. All right.
Sounds funly.
We'll go up there and we'll get some ACT popcorn with butter. Whatever, what was the brand they sold in those stores? All right, anyway.
Was it ACT 1?
No.
ACT. Like you can still get ACT popcorn in a grocery store, Rob.
Yeah, okay. Well, that and Orville Redenbacher.
What can I get that's like specifically, is the word Oregonian?
Anything with no sales tax. Someone else to pump your gas.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Because we were doing that like once a year anyway when we went up to Prosser, Washington to see Danza. And Voodoo Donuts, okay, Voodoo Donuts, I'll give it that. So
they are pretty good.
Well, and hey, Venara can vouch for me in our chat, can vouch for me. Gwen can vouch for the how I would save up paychecks to go buy my subtitled anime.
I love it.
And the raw version of that was like three generations old of Legend of the Overfiend that we would make up our own dialogue to.
All right, last story tonight. Maybe Suncoast would be exhibiting here, or at least attending, if they were if they have more than one store left. But there is Consumer Electronics Show this week. That's right. It is happening January 11th through 14th, but of course, not happening in Vegas across several convention halls. Nope, CES 2021. It's virtual, just like everything else has been for the past year or so. Somebody had just joined chat a minute ago going, when was the last time you were all in the same room? March, much like a lot of you, March was the last time we were all in the same room. So, and, you know, there hasn't really been big conventions since then. Yes, there's been Rob, some ones, but.
I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think February.
You're right. Well, I had that cruise.
Because I had pneumonia.
I was on the cruise. I think we did one more episode here in studio after the cruise. But it was just, you're right. It was just Loki and I. You were sick. I seem to remember that.
Yeah,
was
that was the start. And I had pneumonia for like 6 months.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I had pneumonia again. Go fig.
All right. Anyway, so CES is going to be virtual this year. There'll be, you know, like live virtual showrooms, live stream events and things like that. And you know what? Honestly, this year you have a lot of companies that are just releasing stuff kind of early, but you're not going to be able to go to a room to see televisions anymore. The laptop PCs and accessories, connected homes, drones, robots, transportation, virtual cars, that's all expected to go online. And they're saying it's going to be a slower, quieter show. Fuck off, COVID-19. But that is what it is all about. But we might still get some news out of it. Somebody had brought up in chat earlier, it's a good time for Arcade 1UP to make some announcements usually. Again, a lot of those like furniture in your house that do tech things, this is a good time for that. So we might get some updates on sort of those types of collectibles. But I wouldn't expect, I mean, very rarely do we get big gaming news at CES, even if E3 was a spinoff of CES back in the day. I would say the last big thing I remember at CES was when Microsoft Game Room was announced. Rest in peace. They did announce that at CES, but I don't think anything like that's going to happen. Not this year. So, all right. Anyhow, that brings us closer to the end of the show. But before we wrap up, we like to check in with the listeners in the segment we call the Listener Roundtable. So, and I'm sorry, the headline is wrong. It should say Chat and Mailbag. Because this is the part of the show where we like to visit our mailbag as well. Every week we invite you guys to participate. Participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send us emails, and Dark Sakura will pick some to read on air if she has any. One. All right, so let's get to our email tonight.
All right. Hello, peoples. During our time of social distancing, I've gotten into cocktail mixing. The Mixology app has been a great aid in this. There is nothing that compares to the Mixology app on iOS. As far as cocktail mixing apps go, there's nothing like it on Android at all. Mixology did not pay me to send this email. This brings to mind a topic for the round table. There are many examples of games that are exclusive to one platform for which there are no comparison in their genre. Which examples spring to your mind?
I wish the emailer.
Flash?
I wish the emailer had given us an example. Read that question one more time. A genre that only exists on one.
No. So there's no comparison in their genre.
Okay.
So I guess there's nothing really like Jumping Flash on another system, but that's just the first thing that sprang to mind.
Go back to the roots. Well, I was going to say the roots of the show, the Bomani stuff was always like on PlayStation. You didn't really see it anywhere else. But then I guess Rock Band and Guitar Hero kind of broke that mold and did kind of put it everywhere. Because then my brain kind of goes to those, you know, Parappa the Rappa. But then again, Sega did have some pretty badass music games of their own back in the day. They were just very different. Well, you know what? Honestly, fuck. Go back to the Dreamcast and look at a lot of those games. We don't have anything like... Where's Samba de Amigo? Where's Space Channel 5? Where's Crazy Taxi? I would say a lot... You know what? Those are my answers. A lot of those like obscure Sega Dreamcast games that we love, I don't think we've seen anything... Unless,
the thing to keep in mind...
Until they get ported to other stuff later. Sorry.
Is that a lot of those more obscure Dreamcast games had a lot of their start in the arcade?
Yeah.
So, and they could port their own games. But at the time, Sega was doing interesting things in the arcades with, you know, I wish we had gotten like something for Jumbo Safari or something, for example.
That's another good one.
But we were getting, you know, the Dreamcast was essentially, you know, scaled down Naomi hardware. It would play the Naomi games. So, I mean, the biggest thing that I was always pissed off that we never got was Planet Harrier on Dreamcast. If someone could convert that, I would pay for it. I think that just more goes in line with what Sega was doing at that time. But it's a good example. I mean, because we weren't getting some of those same types of games on other systems.
Shane is pointing out in chat, Space Channel 5 had a VR release sequel thing not that long ago. That's true. Yeah, I guess we have revisited those things a few times.
Best to Move.
Ooh, that's a good answer too. That's a good one.
The Best to Move series.
My brain also went to, how about that? We haven't seen this in quite a long time. Something like, okay, but I know what somebody in chat is going to respond to this instantly. I will get there, please. Point Blank for, you know, that whole series and the light gun genre in general. We haven't seen that in a very long time. Now,
aside from Sharpshooter, but you know,
here's where YYR brings up Sharpshooter. Yes, yes.
Thank you
course.
For pointing out also YYR that Planet Harrier, Karu, and not Naomi.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying something really back in that kind of like Namco, you know, a shooter type of thing. We haven't that was kind of unique to that, and we haven't seen anything like that in a long time, I guess. So
now Namco is doing like the giant arcade ticket spitter thing. Yeah. So. Which is weird.
That's a tough question. I would need more time to think about that. Did the emailer give us any of their own examples?
No.
Well, you need to email back. Who is it?
I'll get to it when I finish the email.
All right, go on. Please proceed.
Okay. Also, I'm intrigued about the possibility of the Kentucky Fried console, as I am always looking for something to do while using my air fryer, besides impatiently waiting for my tasty nom-noms. Stay care, Redertainment, skiing is the word I won't use.
All right, Redertainment, email us back. I need your examples to this question. That's a tough question. But you know what? You know what? A feature of the KFC console, maybe a console warmer is what we need on other consoles. Maybe it's not the games, it's the features.
Why would you want your consoles to be warmer?
Did you not just talk about how you wanted the KFC console last week on the show to warm your chicken?
My chicken, but I don't want something to warm the console.
Okay, all right, yes. A warmer in the con. If you know what I meant. All right.
Well, like, the console's warmed by the actual exhaust from cooling the components.
Yes, yes. But I wouldn't put chicken anywhere near that.
Exactly.
You know what? I want something that'll keep my delicious calzones nice and warm, because I have a pizza oven now.
Keep your hot pockets hot?
No. My pizza stuff that I am making from scratch in a propane pizza oven.
Excuse me.
We have one
me.
Now.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And I want something that keeps it warm while I'm gaming.
All right. I want to make some easy bake oven cookies while I play games. That'd be fun.
Trixie Mattel did like 5 videos of using an easy bake oven, and it's amazing. Even Dan loves them. Just saying.
Perfect.
You need to watch them, Rob. You really do.
All right. Hey.
Your life will be improved.
Hey, live folks, do you have any questions for us in chat for the roundtable before we move on and wrap up the show? Shane is saying, I would kill for a new Bust a Move game. Same. In fact, he was the one that brought over the spiritual successor, whose name I can't remember in the moment.
Dance Summit.
That's it, Dance Summit.
Of which I finally own a copy.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So,
Twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf asks, rugby baby or baby rugby? And again,
two different things.
I don't know what rugby baby is, but I need to find out.
No spoilers. Go look up the sequence from Awesome Games Done Quick. It's on YouTube. And rugby baby, just because that's how I heard it the first time.
And the thing is that I think that I don't want to spoil it, but I think that Bobby's question, rugby baby or baby rugby, would actually be two completely different things that you wouldn't say this. You use the term interchangeably for the same thing. I think it would actually be two completely different concepts.
They would, but again, I don't want to spoil every. Your homework assignment is to go watch, because I'm not going to protect you from spoilers next week, audience. All right.
Okay. So but
your
get
homework
this.
Assignment is to go watch Rugby Baby, because I will not protect you from spoilers next week.
But get this, like the whole time that everyone was talking about that, the Baby Monkey song was going into my head, but I was singing Rugby Baby, you know. So, yeah.
All right. Let's see. There was one that scrolled off the screen real quick before ActDef said something. Sacred Jade said Scott Pilgrim game physical release. Yeah, we got that in the rapid fire news, but anybody planning on picking it up? I don't think I'll get the physical release, but I will download the game for sure. That was a good. And the soundtrack is so fucking good. I will definitely check out the game again for sure. It was a good game. So, all right. Let's see. One other. Yes. ActDef was asking in chat, what's a game you're looking forward to seeing released this year? Good question. I think a lot of times we don't know about them.
Out this year.
Yeah, we don't know about them right now. I feel like Breath of the Wild 2, this is the year for it. And so that is the one I'm going to say. It's so hard. We just don't know what's coming out yet. If Starfield ends up being this year, I'm very curious about that. I like space games. I like the idea of a Bethesda game in space. I don't like the idea of a buggy game in space, so I hope they take the time to get it right. So maybe it won't be this year. But those are some titles off the top of my head that I'm looking forward to. I'm trying to think. I think there's something in springtime that I was looking forward to as well. I can't remember them off the top of my head. So... All right.
I can't really think of anything but Breath of the Wild 2, so.
Yeah.
And my possum game that someone's going to make for
Pixel
me.
Pixel Poops
this
number
year.
Two. And
yeah, Pixel Poops as
YYR
well.
Steam release and Commodore release as well.
And so when they finally make this possum game that you're looking for and they decide to speedrun it, is it going to be Possum Games Done Quick?
Yeah. Yes. There should be a special segment on the next AGDQ called Possum Games Done Quick.
SSGO 100 Matt wants to know, now that AGDQ is over, Among Us VOG Edition when? Soon, trademark. I am working on another VOG project right now. I don't want to say much more than that. But it's coming soon, trademark. But yes, that is on my mind. I wanted to do more streaming this week, and I think I actually did one that was the same time as Awesome Games Done Quick, but for obvious reasons, I didn't want to do a lot, and I certainly didn't want to do one when Bobby was going. So I'm trying to get back in that habit. But we did a really fun stream of Final Fantasy XIV. It was Shad Starzik and our buddy Ray. We were map hunting together, and I think we had a lot of fun with that because they built this whole thing in Final Fantasy XIV where you have like a big roulette wheel that spins in some map rooms, and it's like a game show. It's really funny. So I'll try to do some more of that, but I also want to do like some DJ Max streams and play some other games that aren't just Final Fantasy XIV, although that one is certainly a fun one to play. All right. Well, I think with that, we're going to move to start to wrap up the show here for this week. I do want to thank you guys for tuning in and checking out the show. Thank you for supporting Orange Lounge Radio and checking us out. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, so if you enjoyed what you heard here tonight, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help spread the word. A tweet goes a long way. An auto host on Twitch goes a real long way for VOG Network. We really appreciate all of that. Thank you so much to those of you that go the extra mile. That's all we ask. Help us spread the word. If you do want to contribute in a financial way, we really appreciate that as well. We'll always take bits and subs here on Twitch. Also, if you want to support us on the shop, you can check out some things for sale there over at vognetwork.com/shop, and you can check out like an OLR t-shirt or a sticker. Make anything OLR merchandise, just please have permission. Do not put those stickers places they shouldn't be. Other than all of that, I think we're ready for some final thoughts. So, Loki, I'm going to start with you tonight. Final thought tonight.
Final thought is I really got to buckle down and work more on my game quickly.
All right. My final thought is I have an 8 o'clock Zoom meeting in the morning. That means I have to like be up and at 'em right away. And that's the worst. Who does that on a Monday? That's not nice. Oh, well. Darsakura, what's your final thought?
Please, again, go to my Twitter at Darksakura, DarkSakura. My pinned tweet is the fundraiser I am doing for Gwen. And here's what I said. You have until 10:15, so that's Friday, to donate to her GoFundMe. The link is in the copied one. So if you reply in there with your suggestion, that counts as one vote. But donate $10, and that's another vote. In increments of 10, $100 will give you 20 votes. $500 donations will be an instant win for the game that you choose, that which could mean multiple streams.
All right. All right. Well, that is that. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for tuning into our show, whether you were here on the pod, whether you were here live with us at Twitch TV or on the podcast feed. We really appreciate taking the time out to check out our show. Have a great week. Happy gaming, everybody, and we will see you next Sunday night. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.